do. Is there a message you wish carried to another creature?
No message. I am alone. The gods told me that if I live through the night, the big sea birds will finish me off in the morning. Is there any way you can keep them off me?
Rose thought for a moment before answering.
Maybe, yes. We are not warriors, but we can use our slings. Also, I know a trick to drive seabirds away.
She waited, but there was no reply. Grump stepped away from the wall out onto the beach, shading his eyes against the downpour as he gazed up at the limp figure slumped between the posts.
Yer, he lost his senses. Fallen unconscious, if you must go, poor creature.
Rose joined Grump, and together they watched the unconscious form sway slackly as the elements assaulted it. The mousemaid chose a hard round pebble and fitted it to her sling.
We must help him to live, we must.
Her lip quivered as she spoke.
Oh, that Badrang, the cruel, cowardly, heartless vermin.
Grump chuckled softly.
Nice words from Mousy Maid, I must say. Him'll live, sure enough, if he need be half as ill-tempered as he, Missy.
Chapter 3.
Dawn came pearly grey, shot with shafts of peach and dusky pink, as the sun broke the eastern horizon in the wake of the night storm. The sea was a dim shade of oily turquoise, with cream-crested waves in the middle distance. Badrang the Tyrant had his carved throne chair brought out onto the courtyard, where he could watch the fun. Gurrud the Rat and Skalrag the Fox stood along with two weasels called Lumpback and Stiff Ear, awaiting orders as the tyrant stoat pointed to Martin's limp figure with his sword.
He looks strong enough to have lived through a bit of wind and rain. Gurrud, go and wake the sleeping beauty. Well, he's conscious and wriggling about. The birds will soon spot him.
Gurrud sniggered as he looked up at the circling seabirds that were beginning to mass above the fortress.
Hey, Lord, that lot looking good appetite as usual, eh?
Badrang nodded.
Never knew a gannet that wasn't. Ho there! Hisk, don't send the slaves to the quarry yet. Parade them out where they can see the sentence being carried out. It'll show them what happens to any beast who puts a paw wrong in my fortress.
Gurrud slapped Martin around the face with a wet piece of rag until the young mouse revived. He held a beaker of fresh water to the captive's lips, chuckling as the prisoner drank greedily.
That's the stuff. Drink up now, mouse. Those sea bugs will soon be down for breakfast. Look at them. Big uns, ain't they? Great pointed beaks they've got. Good as a knife for ripping and tearing. They'll enjoy you.
Martin managed to spit the last of the water full into Gurrud's face. The rat backed off, spluttering nastily.
Tough, eh? Well, I hope that takes your eyes first.
Chancing a glance upward, Martin could see a great gannet preparing to dive. Two other grey gulls were beginning to swoop low, and others rushed to join them in the descent for food. His paws were swollen by the wet ropes that held him tightly. He struggled wildly, shutting his eyes tight after Gurrud's cruel remark. All eyes were on Martin now. The horrified slaves, the gloating horde of Badrang, the hungry seabirds, plus two other pairs. Rose and Grum were crouched behind a stony outcrop on the beach. The young mousemaid watching very carefully as she placed a paw across her throat and took a deep breath. The birds wheeled and dived lower toward the struggling figure bound between the posts on the wall top. Grum nudged his friend urgently.
Ow, do hasten and hurry, Missy. They birds be going to peck Martin to death. Ower, I can't look no more.
Grum closed his eyes tight as the seabirds dived for the kill. Badrang had forgotten to scan the seaward horizon that day, preoccupied as he was with Martin's death sentence. A sail appeared, 2 points north on the eastern horizon. It was a great green single-masted craft, practically invisible against the sea because of its camouflage colouring. Three banks of oars protruded to port and starboard, one atop the other, giving it the appearance of a monstrous insect crawling over the waves. It was Badrang's old partner in murder and treachery upon the high seas, a stoat like himself, Captain Trammon Clog of the great ship Sea Scarab. Clog was a villainous sight, an enormously fat stoat dressed in stained and tawdry silks, wearing a massive pair of carved wooden clogs. Every part of his fur, wherever possible, was plaited and braided, beard, eyebrows, moustache, all over his gargantuan body. Plaits and braids stuck out of his ragged sleeve frills, spilled through rents in his shirt, coat and pantaloons, even curled over the tops of the oversized clogs he gnawed on a half-dead lobster as he slurped seaweed grog from a flagon, belching aloud and spitting shell fragments everywhere. Throwing back his tousled head, he roared up at the lookout, a ferret in the crow's nest.
"Boggs, any sheep of land out there yet, matey?"
The keen-eyed Boggs peered into the distance.
"No, Captain, nary a glimmer of... Wait. Hi! Land ahoy!"
The lobster tail fell from Salmon Clog's open mouth to disappear down his open shirt front.
"Ha ha! I knowed it! Where are we, Boggs, you old bilge dog?"
2 points south, Captain. Hi! And there'd be a little lumper sticking up either a cliff or some building."
Clog gurgled happily. Drawing a broad cutlass from his sash, he began honing it on the sole of his left clog.
"Bring her about 2 points, Grouch. If Badrang ain't there, I'll eat me clogs. On me oath I will. Gritter, tell the crew to put some vinegar into their oar strokes. Hurry now, matey. With this wind in our sails and a flowing sea, we'll make landfall soon. Ho, 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 ho! Ha, 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 ha! Won't me old messmate Badrang be pleased to see his great uncle Clog again after all this time?"
At the wheel, Grouch gave a villainous cackle.
"Pleased, you say, Captain? I reckon Badrang'll pop his cork."
Clog flung the empty grog bottle over his shoulder.
"And if he don't, I'll pop it for him. Ha, ha, ha!"
Like a great green bird of ill omen, the sea scarab came about and headed for Marshank, as Salmon Clog mused aloud to himself.
"If Nye knows Badrang, he'll have slaves aplenty. Too many for one beast to own. An old matey like him won't be grudging a fine slaves to row the sea scarab. Else teeth, I should say not. A poor lubber like me without a single slave to me vessel. Asides, 'tain't fitten for corsairs and sea rats to row their own craft. So I'll just nip in nicely and ask him handsome-like to fit us out with row beasts. Badrang'll give him to me. He's a nice cove. And what if he don't? Why, then I'll just slit his gizzard and take him. I'll use his skull as me figurehead and feed the rest of him to the fishes. Only fair, ain't it, Grouch?"
Both pirates burst out laughing at the joke. Clog liked the joke, but he was joking in deadly earnest this time. He hated Badrang. The seabirds came diving in voraciously at Martin's unprotected body. They were within a hair's breadth of his head when a wild ear-splitting screech, halfway between a whistle and a cry, rent the morning air. Immediately, the scavenging birds swooped away and zoomed high into the air, shrilling anxiously and wheeling about willy-nilly. Another loud screech followed, and the gulls and gannets milled about high above Martin, some of them bumping into each other in their apparent confusion. Badrang gazed upwards in amazement.
"What's the matter with him? Weren't he tearing him apart?"
A further screech followed, even louder and more angry sounding than the former two. This time the seabirds sheered off sharply and dispersed. The tyrant stoat was furious.
"What in the name of Hellgates is going on?"
A ferret called Bluehide, who had lived in the far north, called out as he scratched his ears in puzzlement.
"That's the hunting cry of a great eagle. I've heard it afore."
Good had shoved him scornfully.
"Gan, there ain't no great eagles on this coast."
A small venturesome kittiwake who had just arrived on the scene took a swift dive at Martin. The screech rang out swift and harsh. The frightened kittiwake took off like a skyrocket. Bluehide shrugged, eyeing Gurrid in a patronising manner.
"That's a great eagle's hunting cry. Stake me oath on it."
The rat raised his spear but threateningly.
"Listen, Addlebrain, I've said there ain't no..."
"Gurrid, stow that, Gab, and get over here."
The rat broke off his argument with the ferret and scuttled across to Badrang's side. The tyrant scowled as he glowered at the clear blue sky.
"Never mind what it is. There's something about the scaring the seabirds witless. We'll have to tempt them down onto the mouse with a bait they can't resist. Bring a dead fish from the cookhouse."
Hurriedly, the fish was brought to Badrang. He took his sword and cut the cord holding up the weasel Lumpback's ragged kilt. There was a snigger from the slaves as Lumpback stood grinning sheepishly with his only garment draped around his footpaws on the ground. Ignoring the weasel's plight, Badrang tossed the cord to Gurrid.
"Here, tie the fish to this and hang it round the mouse's neck. That'll bring hungry seabirds in to feed, eagle or no eagle."
From their hiding place on the shore, Rose scanned the sky. It was clear and free of seabirds.
"Thank goodness! goodness I won't have to do the eagle call again, Grum. It was beginning to strain my throat.
I'd be glad too, Missy. It was a very frightening sound. I didn't like it one little bit, no.
Grum peeked over the rocky outcrop at Martin on the wall top.
Missy Roser, hearken! What be they villains a doing to Martin?
The mouse maid began twirling her loaded sling.
I don't know, but whatever it is, we'll have to stop them.
Gurridge was trying to get the cord noose that held the fish over Martin's head, but the young mouse was ducking and struggling wildly. The rat was losing his temper.
Hold still, mouse, and I'll pin this fish to you with my spear point.
Whack! Gurridge dropped the fish with an agonized yelp as the sling stone bounced off his paw. Badrang did not see the stone. All he saw was Gurridge dropping the fish and hopping about, sucking on his paw. The tyrant stood up, knocking his throne chair backwards as he yelled at the unfortunate rat.
Stop playing a fool and get that fish round his neck before I come up there and batter some sense into you with it.
As Gurridge bent to pick the fish up, Grum fitted a sizable rock into the spoon of his ladle and whipped it off in the direction of the rat's bent bottom. Thwump! It struck hard and true, knocking Gurridge from the wall top